Upland Bible Church, Pastor Richard J. Olson, 920 Upland Boulevard, Las Vegas, Nevada, 89107. Sunday, second class, December 15, 2024, Romans.
A few moments of silent prayer, shall we? Father, we thank you, sir, for your infinite and your matchless grace. And we thank you, Heavenly Father, that you have magnified your word over all of your name. And therefore, the word of God is more important than the very air that we breathe. And as we assemble this morning to fellowship in the word, we ask that our teacher, God the Holy Spirit, will set apart the absolute truth of Scripture to the nourishment and to the benefit of each one of our souls. We pray these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. All right, we are studying in the Bible. There are seven categories of death in the Bible. And we are in category number five, which is called the second death. Now, the second death has nothing to do with any of us as believers in Jesus Christ. It's for the unbeliever only. Second death is for the unbeliever only. It is the final judgment of those who reject Christ as Savior. It is eternal separation from God and final judgment in the lake of fire. It is part of the second resurrection. The first resurrection is the resurrection of all believers. The second resurrection is the resurrection of unbelievers. When the unbeliever dies, he goes into a compartment in Hades called torments. And he's held in that compartment in torments until the second resurrection. And in the second resurrection, all unbelievers come out of torments in Hades to face the Lord Jesus Christ at the great white throne judgment. They will have their day in court, every single one of them, every unbeliever, everyone that refused to believe in Jesus Christ as their Savior, will face the Lord Jesus Christ, great white throne judgment. And that is presented in Revelation chapter 20. So turn over to Revelation 20. Revelation chapter 20, 11 to 15. Revelation chapter 20, verse 11. Now, this is an extremely important passage. When I was at Washington State University and various times, there are people handing out all kinds of tracts and trying to tell you, try to scare you to believe in Christ as your Savior. And then they point out, if you don't believe in Christ as your Savior, you're going to have to face Jesus Christ. And then they show them going, all these horrible sins I committed. But wait a second. What happened to all those horrible sins you committed? Well, God designed a plan called Operation Grace. And in Operation Grace, the greatest miracle the world will ever know the eternal Son of God, left heaven through the incarnation and virgin birth. He took on true humanity. Why? To go to a cross. Why? For the Father would then gather up the sins of the whole world. The whole world. The sins of the whole world, and poured them out on Christ. And then God the Father judged those sins in Christ once and for all. Those sins will never be mentioned again. They've been paid for in full. Not only for you, who believed in Christ as your Savior, but He paid the penalty for all the rest of the world. They've all been paid for. So at the great white throne judgment, no sin will be mentioned. Not one sin will be mentioned. The law of double jeopardy. That's a done deal. So what is mentioned at the great white throne judgment? I'm glad you asked that question. All their human good works. All their human good works will be brought out. And it takes... Well, we're going to look there. It takes books and books, probably a library, to record all those human good works that they've done. And then there'll be one book, there's only one book, the Book of Life. That's those who believe in Christ as their Savior. But all the unbelievers are not in the Book of Life. They did not believe in Christ as their Savior. But they're in the books. Books and books and books of all their human good works. Now, there is a phrase here. Kata ta erga. Kata, preposition. According to... And then that's the definite article, ta, the definite article of erga, E-R-G-A, which is the plural of ergon. Ergon is work. Erga, works. According to their human good works. No sins. If it was sinned, it would be hamartia. It isn't hamartia, it's erga, ergon. Now, all their sins were already paid for. So not one sin will be mentioned. But there will be books and books. They did this and they did that. They have their day in court. Yes, sir, Lord Jesus Christ. Yes, sir, I was really a good guy. I did these good works. It's going to take you a long time to read all my good works. And then when he gets done reading them, all those human good dead works are minus R. Add up all those human good dead works, it's minus R. But to live with God forever, you have to have His perfect righteousness. The only way you can live with God forever is you have to have His perfect righteousness. And that only comes one way, by faith in Jesus Christ. At the moment you believe in Jesus Christ, God gives you His perfect righteousness. It's called justification. And He declares you to be righteous. Justification by faith. Justification by faith alone, in Christ alone, apart from any and all works. Well, the people in the Book of Life, all believers, have plus R, God's imputed righteousness, which was given to them at the moment of faith in Christ. All unbelievers, all they have is human good dead works. And you add them all up, it's minus R. You're not qualified to live with God forever. Now, Revelation 20, verse 11. Then I saw a great white throne, and him who was seated on it. That's the Lord Jesus Christ. Earth and sky fled from his presence, and there was no place for them. And I saw the dead, great and small, standing before the throne. Now look, and books, plural, were opened. And then another book, singular, was opened. And that book, singular, is the book of life. In the book of life are the names of every believer. The dead were judged, kata ta erga, according to what? To their human good dead works, as recorded in the books, plural. The sea gave up the dead that were in it, the death and Hades gave up the dead that were in them, and each person was judged, kata ta erga, according to their human good dead works. Then death and Hades were thrown into the lake of fire. The lake of fire is the second death. So what is the second death? The lake of fire. The lake of fire is the second death. If anyone's name was not found in the book of life, he was thrown into the lake of fire. So, this is the final judgment of all unbelievers, the second death. Each unbeliever is judged according to his human good dead works, which add up to minus R. Revelation 20, 12 and 13, kata ta erga, according to their human good dead works. The unbeliever is cast into the lake of fire, because he has not placed his faith in Jesus Christ while he was living. He is not judged for his personal sins. Those were all paid for in full by Jesus Christ and judged on the cross. So that is the second death, category number five. Category number six, it can be called different things. It can be called the carnal death of the believer. It can be called the cosmic death of the believer. So let's amplify this a little bit. One, the carnal death may be called also temporal death. Temporal death of the believer, which describes the believer who is living out of fellowship with God. This is the believer committing an occasional sin with some lapse of time between the sins. He's in temporal death. He is in carnal death. And then secondly, it can be called cosmic death of the believer. And this is the believer living his life in Satan's cosmic system, interlocking systems of arrogance, interlocking systems of hatred, for an extended period of time, resulting in reversionism. Now he's in reversionism, and unfortunately there are some that live the rest of their life in reversionism, in cosmic death, living in Satan's cosmic system rather than living the spiritual life of the church age. Now, 1 Corinthians 3, 1 through 3 describes carnal death. It's a great illustration, so turn over to 1 Corinthians 3. Great illustration to define exactly what carnal death is. This is a death of the believer in Jesus Christ. He's out of fellowship with God. He's not filled with the Spirit. He's not living the spiritual life. Instead, he is living in carnality. Now, I'm going to give you a couple of words here before we get started. You've seen this, for those of you who are consistent and faithful, S-A-R-K-S. Literally, that is flesh. This is a term used for the the old sin nature. It's called the sarx, the flesh, the sin nature. Now, from that word sarx is another word, sarkinos. Sarkinos, S-A-R-K-I-N-O-S. And that's transliterated literally fleshly. Translated fleshly, and that's the word carnal. Carnal, fleshly, sarkinos. All right, now let's take a look. Brothers, brethren, believers, royal family of God. And Paul is being very blunt and honest here. I could not address you as spiritual, but as carnal, sarkinos. I could not address you, I could not teach you as spiritual, but as carnal, sarkinos. And then he said, now he described, you are mere infants in Christ. You're babies. Now they've been Christians for years and years and years, and they're still spiritual babies. They've never grown up in the grace and knowledge of Christ. They are babies. Babies for a long, long... Are they Christians? Yes, they believed in Christ as their Savior. But they've never grown up in the grace and knowledge of Christ. They're still spiritual babies. And so he says, now, since you are babies, what do you give babies? Do you give them Chateaubriand? No. They aren't going to do anything with Chateaubriand. What do you give babies? Milk. That's the only thing they can handle, milk. And so Paul says, all I could give you is milk. And what's milk? That is the most basic, basic, basic doctrine, because that's all you can handle. All I can give you is basic doctrine, milk. I gave you milk, basic doctrine, not solid food. Advanced doctrines in the Word of God. I couldn't teach you those, for you were not yet ready for it. Indeed, you are still not ready for it. And you've been Christians a long time, and I still have to treat you as spiritual babies and give you basic doctrine. So then he goes, you are still sarkinos. You are still carnal. And then he described what that's like. Let me explain to you exactly what that is. For since there is jealousy and quarreling among you, well, that goes on in church after church after church after church. Jealousy and quarreling among you. Are you not sarkinos, carnal? Are you not acting like mere men, and that's mere unbelievers? Yes, you can't tell them apart from the unbelievers. Here are Christians. They are baby Christians. They're carnal Christians. They're out of fellowship with God. And what they, you look at them, you can't tell them from unbelievers, because they're out of fellowship, carnal Christians. Well, that's about the best illustration of what this is. 1 Corinthians 3, 1 through 3. Now, God created us, and he gave all of us something very important, volition. You all have a volition, you all have a free will. And from that volition, you're free, one, to believe in Jesus Christ for your Savior. Faith alone in Christ alone, apart from any and all works. And you're free to reject Jesus Christ. But God gave volition to the whole human race. You're free to believe, you're free to reject. Now, you also, let's say you believe in Jesus Christ. Now, after you believe in Christ, you have a volition. You're free to believe the Word of God, and you're free to reject the Word of God. Pastor Olson, I don't believe that. That's a bunch of hooey. I reject that. Well, you're free to do that. I'm not here to make you do anything. I'm just here to teach you what the Word of God says, and you're free to believe it, and you're free to reject it. But God holds you responsible for the decisions you make. Now, ideally, you make good decisions. Good decisions to live the spiritual life that God's given to us. Good decisions to fulfill the mandate. Grow up in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ. Fulfill the mandate. Keep on being filled with the Spirit. To fulfill the mandate, walk by means of the Spirit, and you will not carry out the lust patterns of the sin nature. God has given us mandate, mandate, mandate. That's His will. That's His will for you. Now you're free to obey those mandates, and you're free not to. But when you use your free will and say no, well, you will get out of fellowship with God, live your life in Satan's cosmic system, but you're the product of your own decisions. You can't blame anybody else. You can't blame Pastor Olson, although, I mean, go ahead and you can blame me and say it. But I got broad shoulders. Well, I used to. I don't think everything's shrinking. But you can blame Pastor Olson. You can blame your mother because she dropped you on your head when you were a baby and all kinds of things. But really, it's up to you. You're the product of your own decisions. You can make good decisions to live the spiritual life or reject, make bad decisions to sin and live in Satan's cosmic system. So volition is the guardian of your soul. Temptation from the lust patterns of the sin nature, that's not a sin. Temptation is not a sin. But when you say yes to the temptation, that is a sin. Now the sin nature controls your soul. Both the sin nature and God the Holy Spirit, they both dwell in your body. And the question is, who is going to control your soul? The believer's decision to sin automatically gives control of the soul to the sin nature. But the believer's decision not to sin and fulfill the mandate, keep on being filled with the Spirit, gives control of the soul to God the Holy Spirit. So there are several passages that describe this cosmic death or carnal death. So turn over first of all to James chapter 1. James chapter 1. James 1. James 1 verse 15. Now, your sin nature is made up of a lot of lust patterns. There are a lot of lust patterns in the sin nature. And James in 1 verse 15 says, then when lust, the lust pattern in your sin nature, has conceived, it gives birth to sin. And when sin is accomplished, it brings forth death. That's carnal death. Carnal death, and oftentimes leads to cosmic death. Turn over to 1 Timothy. 1 Timothy chapter 5. 1 Timothy chapter 5. And we're talking about widows here. By the way, we have the most fantastic widows in this local church. We always have. I've been here for about 100 years now, just evangelistically speaking. And we have always had fantastic widows in this local church. And they are the best of the best. And Deb and I, we're blessed when we're around these great widows. So the first verse looks at those widows. Now, verse 5. Now she who is a widow indeed, that is, she is making good decisions. She's living the spiritual life. She's growing up in the grace and knowledge of Christ. She has virtue love brought to completion in her heart. She loves God the Father. She has occupation with Christ. She shares the happiness of God. She's great. Now she who is a widow indeed and who has been left alone has fixed her confidence in God. Her confidence is in God. And she continues in entreaties and prayers night and day. The greatest prayer warriors in this church are the widows. The widows are the greatest prayer warriors in this church. And they pray, notice, night and day. Now, verse 6. But, she who gives herself to wanton pleasure. Is there anything wrong with pleasure? Nothing wrong with pleasure. This is lust patterns of the sin nature. But she who gives herself to wanton pleasure, the lust patterns of the sin nature, is dead even while she lives. That's carnal death or cosmic death. And then, of course, our verse, Romans 8:6, and then Romans 8:13. We got coming up here. Romans 8:13. Romans 8:13, for if you are living according to the flesh, according to the sin nature, then you must die. That's cosmic death. But if you are living according to the Spirit, you are putting to death the deeds of the body, and you will live. That's the spiritual life. So that's coming up in Romans 8:13. So the believer who has humility, the believer who has positive volition to the Word of God, the believer who fulfills the mandates to live the spiritual life by the filling of the Spirit, to grow up in the grace and knowledge of Christ, that believer knows how, they're going to sin from time to time, but they know how to recover from carnal death. They use 1 John 1:9, if we acknowledge our sins to God, He, God, is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And so you get back into fellowship with God and move on. And they do so. However, the negative believer, the arrogant believer, continues under the control of the sin nature and is in the status of death while he is living. The believer who spends his life in carnal death usually winds up dying the sin unto death. And that's category number 7, maximum divine discipline, the sin unto death. Now, we have studied this in great detail on our Thursday night class in 1 John chapter 5, verse 16. So I refer you to your notes of 1 John 5, verse 16. We studied that very, very completely. The winner believer who lives the spiritual life by the spiritual skill and attains spiritual maturity receives fantastic grace blessings, including dying grace blessing. However, the loser believer who lives his life in Satan's cosmic system and stays there, continues to make bad decisions to live in Satan's cosmic system, eventually he will die under maximum divine discipline, and that is the sin unto death. So, you know, life's too short. You don't want to go there. And probably everybody sitting here has gone through a period where you made bad decisions and you got out of fellowship with God and you got into Satan's cosmic system and you stayed there for a while and then God came along and spanked you. And that's because God loves you. That's why. Those whom the Lord loves, He disciplines. So we're His children. He is our Heavenly Father. And He wants to bless you, bless you, bless you, bless you. But when you make bad decisions to live in His, Satan's cosmic system, you're going to crash and burn. He doesn't want you to crash and burn. So He spanks you. Starts out with warning discipline. If you don't pay attention, then intensive discipline. And you don't learn from that, dying discipline. But that's not what God wants for you. God wants to bless you, bless you, bless you, bless you. His plan is so great, so fantastic. He wants you to have Christmas every single day and to have Thanksgiving every single day. So there are the seven categories of death in the Bible. We will continue next. No, we won't continue. Next Sunday, you're invited back. The Christmas play, an extravaganza. Next Sunday, I never watch. They're always going to surprise me. I want to be surprised too. See what it's going to be this. Every year it gets better. Gets better every single year. So that's next, the Christmas play, next Sunday. So this is the time to bring your friends, your relatives, your neighbors, anybody you would like to have them hear the grace gospel of what Christmas really is, with our heads bowed. Father, we thank You, sir, for Your infinite and Your matchless grace. We thank You for the privilege we have this morning of fellowshipping in the Word and growing up in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ. And we pray, sir, that God the Holy Spirit might challenge us, that these principles become a source of blessing and happiness in our lives. We pray this in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.